And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Yes, here he is, and that's me, and let's get the show started. Lots of good stuff to talk about today with you. It's been an entire half hour. But we'll make it quick and get to those 5 minutes that everybody loves to hear about.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
The man, the myth, the legend, and here he is. I've got him full time just for you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to it.
I'm here. We had another David day in the market.
I love it.
Thursday's Dow was up 46 points, S&P up 6 points. Here's a statistic I pulled just for you, David. The last 11 days, the movement of the Dow has been less than 1%.
That's a good thing, because that volatility is down, and that is just that has a great impact in a lot of different areas.
Well, it wasn't that long ago that we were shocked when the movement was less than 1%, and now we've had 11 days in a row. So Thursday's market, you know, again, not bad at all. Oil flat, gold flat. Bank of America had a good day, a rare good day for them. They met expectations on their earnings, top revenue estimates. Morgan Stanley posted a decline in revenues, but shares were still up because a lot of that was due to a legal settlement.
One-time charges.
Yeah, one-time charges, so get those off the book and move on.
CPAs call that, of course, when nobody's listening, so I'll out them. They call that filling up the flower pots.
Yeah.
They get the expenses all loaded in. You have a bad quarter?
Yeah, all
load it up with everything you got, take a big loss, and then everything after that. Hey, we got great income numbers, and we got great profit because they clear the deck.
That's right. So it's maybe on the way up for Morgan Stanley there. Economic news, I know you want to talk about both of these. Weekless jobless claims dropped 50,000 to a seasonally adjusted 352,000.
That's huge.
That's a pretty good number.
But that's what, 1 week?
That's a one-week number.
So what's it smooths out, though, if you look at it more of a four-week average?
Yeah, it smooths out quite a bit, but it's a significant drop because economists were looking for 385,000, so 352,000 is significantly below that.
The four-week moving average is just under 380, so that's pretty solid. Now, the million-dollar question, or maybe it's a trillion-dollar question, because we'll get into a discussion about whether there'll be another quantitative easing, but is it going to hold? Is this real, or is it Memorex?
Yeah, well, so much of it, as we have talked about in the past, is participation rates and how it flows into the unemployment. The fact of the matter is there are still a lot of people that don't have jobs, more than these numbers reflect.
Don't forget you owe me. We're going to start talking about this and millions of people unemployed and how many people really were added.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't forget your homework, okay?
All right.
I want to talk about
it.
That.
All right. There are still a lot of people unemployed, more than these numbers reflect for sure. Consumer prices were flat for the second month in a row in December, so that's good news. We're seeing very, 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 very tame inflation. I know you want to talk about that one, too.
Well, before you get inflation, here, let me give you some of your... I actually had something. I was waiting to see if you had it, and I've got to pull it out of my hat here. For all of 2000, the economy added about 1.5 million jobs.
Yeah, that needs to be a quarter. In a quarter.
Exactly, and that was up sharply from 2010, which was only just shy of 1 million. Now, we need a lot more, and economists are saying that they expect around, according to Associated Press, around 2 million for 2012, but that just is not... We have got more than 13 million people unemployed. So again, if you add 2 million jobs, well, guess what? You have a natural accretion or addition or a growth of the population, something like 100,000 jobs a month need to be added just to absorb the population
just to
growth.
Stay flat.
So that's 1.2 million for the year.
Yeah.
And if you have 2 million jobs and you really only have 800,000 people that are going to work that aren't new to the workforce, in other words, there's 800,000 of real jobs
unemployed
taken.
Unemployed folks that want a job.
That want a job and that get a job that were previously unemployed that weren't like 17 turning 18.
Yeah.
So if you're really adding 18, you're adding 800,000 jobs during a year, and you've got 13 million.
Yeah.
So what's that? It's going to take you 15 years.
Yeah.
If everything goes beautifully.
Yeah.
And it is so we've talked about this on the show before. We need a real jump start, and it needs to be a real plan that will stimulate the economy.
Yeah, and we can talk about the pipeline and the effect on jobs later on. That's the immediate news as far as that goes. In corporate news, Apple announced that they are going to start a digital textbook service called iBooks 2 in association with a number of textbook publishers. So more good news from Apple. It just continues to keep rolling out of there. BP has agreed to pay the Justice Department somewhere in the vicinity of $25 billion to settle criminal and civil charges regarding the oil spill in 2010.
That's pretty slick to be able to settle criminal charges with a check.
Listen to you, slick. That's funny. Kodak filed bankruptcy. We knew that was coming. Said they had received $950 million in 18-month credit facility from Citigroup to keep it going. So they're going to keep the doors open, but the common stock has been suspended. In late earnings news, Google missed their earnings expectations pretty badly. They announced $9.50 per share versus an expectation of $10.49 a share, $8.1 billion in revenue for the quarter versus an expectation of $8.4.
Any number on their stock? What kind of hit?
It was off about 6% as I was walking out of my office.
Do they have an excuse?
The news was so fresh as I was walking out,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, they'll probably say that they had invested and expensed items on, which a lot of companies do, on growth and fueling this and fueling that. And that's what you're supposed to do. You know, when you're a company, you have profit. You've got a couple choices, right? You either buttress your cash position to be conservative and be defensive, which is what a lot of American companies have done with trillions of dollars in cash for the whole lot of them. And you've got either a return of dividends to the shareholder to give them the cash, or you take that money and you do exactly what probably Google did, which is you put it into other things.
Yeah, they're definitely still very, very much in a growth mode, and there still is a lot of mergers and acquisition stuff going on in the tech world, particularly with social media.
Which is tough for a large company, because they're a large cap, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard for a large company to stay in that growth category.
Absolutely.
A lot of them end up in as a blend or a value stock.
Yeah, they just run out of places to go. Now, Apple and Exxon are sort of battling out to see who the biggest company is in the United States, but I mean, one of them is clearly a growth company, and one of them is clearly not. So size is not a sole determinant.
So Apple's the growth, and Exxon is the big juggernaut. They're the oil tanker.
Yeah, one pays a dividend, one doesn't. One reinvests money, one gives it to shareholders. So they're very, very. Neither one is better than the other necessarily, but they're very, very different investing styles.
Well, when we come back, there's lots more to talk about in our Finglish English segment, so stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, well, we've got one that really falls in the Finglish to English category. Let's talk about that beautiful, incredible opportunity to create jobs for Americans that is called the pipeline.
The Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
The Keystone Pipeline is basically a pipeline that moves oil from the oil sands in Canada all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And along the way, of course, it can be used by domestic.
We can all stick our hose into it and pull some off.
I mean, basically, yeah. But it's a big, huge deal. It could create anywhere from, depending on the estimates that you look at, anywhere from hundreds to thousands of permanent jobs.
Yeah, the number that they keep throwing around is 20,000 jobs.
Yeah, I have seen that number probably more predominantly than anything else. But it doesn't really matter because it's not going to happen.
Well, here's what I wrote. I wrote a note when I cut out the article, and I wrote a note at the bottom. You know what I wrote at the bottom? So what?
Yeah.
I mean, I think 20,000 jobs and the people that get those jobs, wonderful. But here's my thinking or my concern. So what? 20,000 jobs as an economic initiative is good. It's better than negative 20. But it's a drop in the bucket. Again, sorry for the pun.
It is.
Okay. It's a drop in the proverbial oil bucket because it's not enough when we need at least 100,000 jobs just to break even on the existing population expansion.
Yeah, it might be a drop in the jobs bucket, but, you know, here we are. We have a very friendly neighbor in Canada.
Exactly.
They have a ton of oil, and they want to send it someplace, preferably to us.
Come on down. We'll take it.
But our gridlocked society in Washington has disallowed it. Now they can reapply, and they have to go through the whole process again. It could take anywhere from 18 months to 2 years, depending on who you ask.
It's so government. You know, you submit your request in using our forms in triplicate, and we'll all consider your request.
Well,
but we only look at those on Tuesdays and every third leap year.
Well, to illustrate that point, David Goldman's a former State Department envoy for international energy affairs, and he says, well, if the U.S. really wanted to move this thing through, they could look at all the old studies that they've done. It's all about environmental impact, and we could have this thing done in 18 months. And then the Obama administration comes out, and State Department's Carrie Ann Jones says, no, if they reapply, it's a whole new application. We have to start from scratch again,
folks. Of course
we
do. Of course we do.
You know, so here are these people that want to own the pipeline, TransCanada Corporation, and they just keep thinking, can we get another president, please?
Or another Congress, or the whole lot of them.
Yeah, something.
I mean, the president could have gone along with it, but I'm not going to say, hey, this is all his fault. They just won't work together, and this is something that's good for a lot of people. So whoever, you know, I'm not in there studying who said what to whom and when and what part of deal it is, but you know, we need this kind of stuff to be done, and it's good for neighbor relations, but it's also good for the economy.
Well, this one's a bigger hot potato than most, because this thing, 20,000 jobs, as you said, it's not that big of a deal, but this thing has been added on to the payroll tax bill. It's been added on to corporate profit repatriation bills. I mean, it just gets slapped onto every bill.
Not only am I taking me out of context and said, David said, well, that's just a few thousand jobs.
No.
You know, like they did to Romney on his, you know, whatever, when they talk grilling him on his tax return. He's probably got $10 million in income, and he said he had a little bit of speaker fees.
Yeah,
well, when you're talking about
$10
million dollars of income and you got a couple hundred thousand dollars in speaker fees, it is a little bit.
Yeah.
But they took him out of context, and of course they immediately inserted the rotisserie sticks and they've got him on the grill. They're basting him with the barbecue sauce right now.
Yeah. But if nothing else, an absolutely perfect example of why nothing is progressing, because they just can't get anything done.
You know why? I got the solution. I know you're as cynical as I am, Scott. Maybe a little bit more. But anyway, it is because it's always the other guy's fault. It's always the other guy's fault. It's not my fault we're not getting a deal done. Anyway, speaking of deals getting done, okay, so Europe is looking a little better?
Yeah,
Is that where we are? Okay.
Well, it depends. It depends on how you look at it.
Well, here's my question.
Stock market has definitely been better.
Okay. Yeah, the markets are looking better. In fact, Germany was up. I was looking at Germany. They're up almost 8% year to date.
Yeah, German 10-year boons, they call it the boon, that's their 10-year bond, is reaching record low yields too. So a lot of money flowing into Germany.
And into bonds?
Yeah.
Or into their stock? Well, actually, I think also into their stock market.
Into both. Because would you rather invest in Hungary's stock market or Germany's stock
market?
That's
a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
And so with that, here's the half a trillion dollar question.
Yeah.
If all those things are wonderful or are looking better, why does the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, need another $500 billion in cash?
Yeah. Well, they're nervous. They think they may have financing needs in the coming years of $1 trillion. Right now, they have about $400 billion in available resources.
Okay.
What the IMF does is they go to countries who are having real significant economic trouble, and they give them some money to basically get them, you know,
get them
moving.
It's a loan.
In the past, it's been developing economies.
But it's a loan from the IMF.
Right.
Okay, who funds the IMF?
Everybody, the G20, basically.
Okay, so it's the 20 larger economies in the world.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. The United States has gone to the IMF, and they said, hey, we can't help you.
enough's enough.
You got to go somewhere else. So yeah. Now the IMF is squeezing China. Japan has said they're going to step up. They're leaning on oil-producing countries pretty heavily. But they really want this money, which leads you to believe that if you really look below the surface, these are the people who are really looking under the hood of Europe and what's going on in the economies. They're not feeling overly comfortable.
No, they're not feeling comfortable. And a lot of economists, Reuters did a poll not too long ago here for 2012, and about 600 economists, and said the big concern is that the crisis in Europe will drag on global growth. And there are some nice positive areas of growth going on. China's still 8.5%. They're projected to do well. India's economy may be a little lower, but it's still expected to be at 7%. Brazil is on fire. They're going to grow around 3% for 2012, maybe 4.5% for 2013. But the weakness is an actual contraction that is expected for Eurozone of about 0.5%.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Any contraction is a lot.
Well, think about their economy collectively. What is it? It rivals ours. So yeah. What, $15, $16 trillion?
Yeah.
So 0.5% on $1 trillion is a lot of money.
Yeah, not to mention that they have real unemployment problems and they have real debt problems and they need to collect as much tax money as they can. So a shrinking economy means shrinking tax rolls means worse debt burden. So it's just it's very much a secular process.
It's not good. You know what? One thing I think that we would help us thinking about all this with trillion here, trillion there, trillion everywhere. And I've talked about this on the show before, but I'll let me come back from break and I'll talk about what is $1 trillion really. Stick all around.
Right. What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional, and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, and let's continue our conversation. There's just so much to get to on this global economic front and talking about what's happening in International Monetary Fund and who's funding it and who's supporting all of this debt and trying to help these countries that spend more than they take in tax revenue.
Yeah, well, here's why the IMF, I think, is really concerned, because they have to look at worst-case scenarios. So if they say they need $1 trillion, really what they're hoping is that they're only going to have to spend maybe half of that, because they have to have reserves for the next disaster. But there's an analyst named Desmond Lachman. He's an economist at the American Enterprise Institute and a former IMF official, so he's not, you know, wet behind the ears. He said that Italy could need $750 billion and Spain could need $450 billion for bailouts. That's over
crazy.
Your children. Yeah, then your trillion is gone and then some. So the IMF is deeply, deeply concerned.
Well, I think when the IMF is concerned, we are all concerned.
And we talked yesterday that the ECB is concerned as well, or the World Bank is concerned as well.
You know, we talk about let's get some perspective here, because I think it's very easy to overlook this. And I started to share this before the break, and I've talked about it on other programs, other shows we've done. $1 trillion is a lot of money. And I'll give you a real visual, ladies and gentlemen, as you think about what's $1 trillion. I want you to think of any kind of airplane. Let's just use a F-14. What they have in the Tom Cruise movie. Wasn't that F-14s?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Okay. All right. I get Scott all the time on pop culture. He's like, I don't know. But anyway, Top Gun. I'm sure you've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, let's say use an F-14. We're flying an F-14, and we are peeling out. We have these banner signs on the beach. I know you've seen those.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've got just coming out the back of that F-14 are dollar bills, just all attached together, one long stream of dollar bills.
Like a roll of paper towels.
Exactly. And let's say our F-14 is going the speed of sound, which is about 770 miles an hour. Okay. It's a pretty good clip.
Yep.
All right. It would take 14 years of continuous flying to peel out $1 trillion. I mean, think about that. Flying, yeah. 14 years of flying. And so anyway, and you know, it's look, and you talk about Italy. How much you say they need? $750 billion
Yes, I said $750 billion $450 billion for Spain.
Wow. And Italy's economy is pumping out GDP of about a little bit less than $2 trillion about $1.7, $1.8 trillion
Right. And then on top of that, you have to put Greece and Portugal. So $1 trillion by that math is insufficient.
Well, speaking of trillions of dollars,
yep.
This is only one trillion, though. Okay. Well, it's okay. I'm sorry. You're right. Speaking in terms of trillions of order of magnitude, here you go. Hey, we had a kind of was a sleeper. It's kind of under the, you know, it was like I had to dig in the back of the paper or in the back of my internet pages to find this information. The House passed a measure against a debt going up, our U.S. debt, the maximum we can borrow, but it still is going to go. Still going to go into force because of all the budget wheeling and dealing in 2011. So our debt ceiling is going to go up by $1.2 trillion. The current debt is a little over $15 trillion. It's as much as our total production, gross domestic product of everything we got going on. And it's going to be another $1 trillion. So they're planning on spending it.
Even though the House voted to reject it and the Senate is expected to reject it next week.
It's still an automatic. So it's kind of a deal. Hey, I tell you what we'll do. Let's all get together and we'll vote this through. And we won't vote to pass it, but we'll say that you can override as president, right. And we still can vote no.
Right. And then
I mean, come
way,
on.
That way I can go home and tell everybody, I voted no.
And they made me, you know, I don't understand it.
I voted no after I voted yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. It's not really funny. It's sad. It's so sad. It's funny.
That brings the borrowing limit almost up to $16.5 trillion. But the good news is that will cover us until the November election.
Okay. So, hey, that's good to know $1 trillion will cover us. What is that? How many days is that?
It's just, well, it's only 10 200, months.
Yeah. So what is that? 300 days?
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know. You know, it's good to know $1 trillion will get us to November. That's amazing. Speaking of borrowing and U.S. Treasuries, here's something I found also buried in the back of the Wall Street Journal. Or was this USA Today? Anyway, I like to look at both papers. China has been reducing its holdings and maybe not buying as much or selling some of the U.S. treasuries. And Japan has been buying quite a bit. They're actually right on China's bumper to maybe overtake China in terms of being the largest holder of U.S. debt in the world. And so I'm curious what you think, Scott. I of course, you know, again, being in our cynic, we're going to start a little cynics club. Okay, so we're going to have to be the two. I'll be the founding member, and you can be the honorary. Or
okay, I'll be the
I
vice
think you
president.
Could probably get by on merit.
Vice
so.
President of cynicism.
Okay, so our cynical view is that I think that the Chinese in their, you know, they got some smart people running their investment portfolio for the Chinese government. The best of the best, the best of a billion people. And I think they think that treasuries maybe have topped out on price.
Yeah, I think it's more of a trade.
Right, that's
as,
what I
as
think.
As you're describing.
It's not political.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's a trade that they think, you know what, I don't think, because again, where are the yields? The yields on the U.S. treasuries for 10 years are about
1.9%. 185.
Like that, yeah. So they just don't think the price is going to fall that much. Now, that may change depending on what happens with quantitative easing and the Federal Reserve trying to step in and stimulate our economy more.
Well, to put it in some context, China's net holdings fell $1.5 billion to $1.33 trillion. So the amount that it fell, based on the amount that they have, is really not that much. If they wanted to make a political statement, they could have sold $500 billion if they wanted to. Now, that would have been an eye-opener.
Well, and that didn't happen.
No.
And so they may be weaning off buying more, or they may be looking to sell gradually and not to startle the market.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's something that we need to keep an eye on. And you know, the other thing going on, again, we're talking about trillions of dollars. We've also got the possibility of quantitative easing coming.
Yep.
Again, and we're going to take another short break, and we come back, if you'd like, we can talk about that just for a minute and what that could mean to our listeners and their investment portfolios. Stick around.
Do you
you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your two-minute warning.
Well, two-minute warning couldn't be more appropriate because coming down the pike is a potential Federal Reserve move. The central bank that operates, controls, monitors, modulates, all that fancy talk of basically regulating how our monetary system works in the United States. They've got some stuff up their sleeve, Scott, and I think it'd be interesting to talk about just for a minute and help people understand what the potential consequences would be of the Federal Reserve stepping in and buying to the tune of potentially, now it may not be this much, but still, as we've talked about before the break, a very large number, half a trillion, $500 billion to a full $1 trillion in buying mortgage-backed securities. What does that mean? And then we'll talk about how that could affect people.
Well, really, basically what it means is that a ton of cash gets pumped into the system. And that cash has to go somewhere. You know, the cash just spins around and around from hand to hand to hand, but it causes an increase in spending.
Okay.
It devalues the dollar, right, okay, because there's more of them out there.
And so there's a cut. If you look at where we are, though, right now the dollar is, quote unquote, a little bit more expensive.
Yeah,
so they've got
stronger.
Some wiggle room.
Yeah. So we got a very low inflation numbers. So that causes them to be a little bit more likely to do it because as you pump money into the system,
that can cause inflation.
It's inflationary.
Okay.
But what we've seen with the last two quantitative easing passes,
commodity prices jump.
Commodity prices have gone up.
Stock
prices have
jump.
Gone up. So I mean, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think that with the good economic numbers that we've had, with the stability of the stock market that we've had, I think it's becoming less and less and less likely, unless we have some kind of a real significant contagion meltdown from Europe, but I do think it's becoming less likely than it was maybe even just a month
ago.
Okay,
so it may not happen at all.
It might not happen at all.
Or you're thinking maybe a good chance based on your what do they call that, the intel on the street or in the battlefield. You're looking at this stuff every day for our clients.
Yeah.
And all the stuff you're reading, you're not really seeing a strong sign for a quiet.
Yeah, there are a handful of Fed governors that have pushed for it pretty hard, but it's only just just two or three of them.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today. It goes fast, but ladies and gentlemen, please tune in to the next show, and we will continue our discussion of things that matter to you and your money.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.